Ladies and gentlemen, joining us right now is Basketball Insider. You can read his work at the New York Times, Forbes, and of course his own website, zagsblog.com, Mr. Adam Zagoria. Welcome, sir.
Thanks for having me, William. Hope you're doing good.
I'm good. Excited to have you. I needed your help on this Miles Powell lawsuit. So Miles was a standout basketball player for the Seton Hall Pirates from 2016 into 2020. And just last week, he decided to sue his alma mater. What can you tell us about this lawsuit?
I mean, it caught a lot of people by surprise. I've talked to several former Seton Hall players and some guys who played with Miles. I think everybody is, you know, really surprised, primarily because, you know, he and Coach Kevin Willard had a very tight relationship. You know, Kevin was kind of like a father figure to Miles. He was always talking about how great a player he was and how he was the best player in the country and what a great pro he was going to be. And here you have a situation where Miles is suing, you know, not only the university, but Kevin Willard personally and Tony Testa, the athletic trainer there.
What is he alleging? So,
well, essentially, Miles suffered in the fall of 2019, what we were told was a really bad ankle injury in the second game of the season against Stony Brook. I was at that game. It was at Walsh Gym. After the game, Kevin Willard said he didn't think Miles would be able to play in the next game. He said he was out for the next game, which was Michigan State. I think that Thursday night was a big game. And Miles did not end up playing in that game, went and scored 37 points in a close game that Seton Hall lost. But Miles is claiming now through his attorneys that he had a torn meniscus, not just an ankle injury, and that, you know, he was mistreated, misdiagnosed by Kevin and Tony Testa. And that it hurt his career. He wasn't able to practice, he says, for much of the season. And he argues that he would have been a lottery pick in the NBA draft and his pro career would have gone differently, you know, had they diagnosed it properly.
The fall of 2019, the second game of the season, he suffers an injury. He was told it was an ankle injury. That year, he proceeded to be an All-American, was the Jerry West winning for the best shooting guard in the country. So he played out a senior year.
Big East player of the year.
Big East player of the year. Played out a senior year. Yeah. And then, unfortunately, he wasn't drafted in the NBA draft. And now he's alleging, going back, that was indeed a meniscus tear. When did he find out that it was a meniscus tear?
I mean, these are all a lot of great questions, William, that we don't have the answers to yet. I've called his attorney, a guy by the name of Alan Milstein in New Jersey, several times. I've texted him. The attorney hasn't picked up the phone. He hasn't returned calls. I mean, I think there are a lot of questions about when did Miles find out it was a meniscus tear? Is there proof? Is there an MRI or something that says it's a meniscus tear? Is there proof that Seton Hall knew it was a meniscus tear and didn't tell him? Right. These are all questions we don't really know the answer to. I read the lawsuit. The lawsuit alleges these things, but doesn't provide any evidence. Now, I did talk to one of his former teammates today who said, look, if Miles is making these claims, there has to be some truth to it, you know, in part because he had such a great relationship with the university. I mean, you know, Miles Powell is about the most beloved and popular Seton Hall basketball player in the last, you know, 20 years, you know, since maybe Terry DeHare. And he had a very close relationship with Kevin Willard. So, you know, something motivated him to launch this lawsuit. I don't know if an agent or an attorney, you know, got in his ear or what. There's a lot of unanswered questions here. You know, it's unclear if, you know, maybe there'll be other players coming forward who played with Miles or at the school in the last 5 or 10 years who've had similar experiences where they feel they were pressured to play or they're, injuries weren't diagnosed correctly. That's all sort of, you know, remains to be seen.
Right. I know in the lawsuit they named Tony Testa as an MD, a medical doctor, but Seton Hall says that's just a head athletic trainer. Did I have that correct? Do we know if he ever met with an actual team doctor or someone off campus?
Again, I wish I knew more. I mean, Miles didn't answer his phone when I called. The attorneys aren't answering the calls. Kevin, I did speak to Kevin today, but he's not permitted to comment on this. You know, I think that for a lot of people, it's like, well, you know, he went on to be an All-American and be the Big East Player of the Year. And then he did play. He did not get drafted, but he played well for the Westchester Knicks in the G League last year. So I think some people wonder, you know, how can you allege this, you know, ruined your career if you played at such a high level in the Big East and in the G League. And I, you know, I love Miles and I covered him and I think he's a great guy. I'm not sure that it's accurate to say he was going to be a lottery pick, right, you know, coming out of that draft. I mean, he's 6'2". There were always some questions about his size and whether he could be an NBA point guard at that size. You know, I think there was a lot of speculation that he could be drafted, you know, maybe in the second round. You know, he went undrafted. The Knicks picked him up, invited him to training camp. He, like we said, he played well in the G League. There was some talk he was going to get a two-way contract with the Milwaukee Bucks, like in March, I think The Athletic reported. He never did play for the Bucks. It's not clear to me if he had surgery then on the knee. So there's a lot here that we don't know.
Right, right, man. And that's something you would know. You were very plugged in. When he was going through the draft process, did you hear anything from these teams that maybe they did an MRI on him and he wasn't healthy enough? Like anything like that come back?
I'll say no, I did not hear that, William. And I mean, the lawsuit alleges that there were NBA personnel, you know, basically saying that, I forget the exact wording of the lawsuit, but basically the implication was that if he didn't have the meniscus tear, he would have been drafted higher. Now, I mean, I covered Miles that whole year. I interviewed all kinds of people, you know, Fran Fraschilla and Jonathan Givony at ESPN and Jay Billis. And I talked to Patrick Ewing and other people who all said Miles had a future in the NBA because he could score. He's always been able to shoot it and score the basketball. But, you know, part of the reason, if you remember, he tested the draft after his junior year and then went back his senior year was because there were questions. You know, they wanted to see him play the point and facilitate and be more of a playmaker. That's part of the reason why he went back his senior year. So there were always some questions about his size and what role he would play in the NBA. So I'm not sure it's accurate to say he was definitely going to be a lottery pick.
Right. How do you see this lawsuit playing out? What are some of the next steps?
Well, I think there was a story today that just got moved from state court to federal court. I think Seton Hall somehow got it moved from state court to federal court, which from what my attorney friends tell me, federal court is more sympathetic to the defense. So, you know, how it's going to play out. I mean, most of the people I talk to are sort of, you know, wonder, you know, I don't know if Miles and his attorneys are trying to settle, you know, financially, obviously maybe get some money from Seton Hall. That's one question. If they would do that, is there really any legitimacy to the lawsuit? Do they have evidence that proves he has a torn meniscus and that, again, that Seton Hall knew about it and didn't tell him? You know, we haven't seen that evidence. I think obviously in the short term, it really damages the relationship between Miles and Seton Hall. I mean, I think they were probably going to retire his number this season, his number 13, put it up there on the rafters at the Prudential Center with, you know, Terry DeHaere's number and the other numbers up there. You know, I don't see how that can happen right now. I don't think Miles can go back to a basketball game at Seton Hall right now and they can retire his number, at least while Kevin is the coach. You know, hopefully that over time that plays itself out and they can eventually, you know, retire Miles's number and give him the accolades he deserves there.
You're right, man. Well, Mrs. Zagoria, thank you so much for helping us out in that Miles Powell story. What else are you working on? I know you're a busy man. What else are you working on? What do you have coming up?
Yeah, and I'll just add to that. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Miles, you know, this season. I mean, I think he was he's no longer under contract with the Knicks. Mm-hmm. So the question is, you know, does an NBA team sign him? Does he go to the G League? You know, I would think he could have a very successful career, you know, overseas in Europe or somewhere if he wanted to go that route and make good money overseas. You know, there's no shame in that. I know some of his former Seton Hall teammates are doing that. So it'll kind of be interesting to see where Miles goes next with his career. As far as me, I'm actually headed down to the Peach Jam late tonight, and that's in you fly into Augusta, Georgia. It's in North Augusta, South Carolina. It's the Nike Summer Circuit. All the college coaches will be down there. You know, Kentucky, Duke, you know, Texas, all the schools, Seton Hall, Rutgers, St. John's. And, you know, Peach Jam goes until this weekend, and then the semifinals will be on ESPNU Saturday. A lot of the top players in the country, Jalen Duren and Derek Lively from team final in the Pennsylvania, Philadelphia area, the New York Wrens from here in New York City have a loaded squad. Kyle Filipowski is one of their big guys. He's being recruited by Duke and Kentucky and other schools. So it's always fun to see that. It's, you know, it's kind of weird. They didn't have the Peach Jam last year because of the pandemic. Now they're having it. People don't have to wear masks, and there's a lot of coaches and players in the gym. So I'm kind of interested to sort of check out the whole scene.
All right. Sounds good. Mrs. Zagoria, thank you so much for joining me.
All right, William. Anytime. Thanks, buddy.
All right. Take care. Thank you to Adam Zagoria for joining me here. Basketball insider, prolific basketball writer. That was cool, man. Thanks for doing that. And I want to react to what Mr. Zagoria shared with us. But first and foremost, I want to make sure I send my well wishes to Mr. Miles Powell, a young man opting to sue his alma mater. That couldn't have been an easy decision. And I'm sure it's not a comfortable position to be in, and I want to make sure I send my well wishes. I don't know Mr. Powell at all. I did see him play high school basketball once. I was working here at a nonprofit in New York City, and we were putting on a high school event. And at that time, Miles Powell was a prep star at South Kent out of Connecticut. And they came down here, and Miles just put on a show. Put on an absolute show. He was a pudgy guard at the time, but nonetheless, he was one of the best players in the gymnasium. Next thing you know, he was 45 pounds lighter, and he was starring at Seton Hall. The rest was history. 4-year college career, number 3 on the all-time scoring list for Seton Hall. Absolutely phenomenal. So again, I wish that young man the best. What do we know about the lawsuit? Miles is claiming that in his senior year, the second game, he got hurt. He is alleging that the school informed him that it was an ankle injury. But Miles is saying that he later learned that it was actually a meniscus tear. A meniscus tear that, had it been diagnosed properly, would have led to him sitting out his senior year. And he is alleging that it is that meniscus tear which led to him not being drafted in the NBA draft, the 2020 NBA draft. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't help but question the validity and the timing of this lawsuit. So he gets hurt in his second game, he says, of his senior year. Well, do you know what he did his senior year? All he did was proceed to be named Big East Conference Player of the Year. In his senior year, he was awarded with the Jerry West Award, which is given to the best shooting guard in the whole country. So whether it was an ankle injury or a meniscus, like, one could say that it didn't prevent you from balling out. to the tune of being named the best player in your conference. You were able to put good basketball on tape for the NBA to see. So in the lawsuit, he's a legend. Yeah, I didn't get drafted. I didn't go in the lottery because of my meniscus. One can make a case against that, saying, yo, dog, you played. The NBA GMs got to see who you were. One of the higher-ups in the Chicago Bulls organization is a former Seton Hall standout, a Lithuanian brother. I'm sure he was paying close attention to what you were doing, man. So to solely blame you going undrafted on an injury, I think somebody can make a case against that, especially when you had the dominant senior season that you did. Now, in the lawsuit, Powell is alleging that when he started to go through the professional process, that's when it was uncovered that it was indeed a meniscus tear. I'm not 100% on the draft process, but I don't know if they do MRIs and stuff on guys before they choose them. And if there was a meniscus tear, would they be able to tell which date it happened? Would they be able to say, oh, you have a meniscus tear now. This definitely happened in that second game of the season. I don't know. Again, these are questions that people are asking. And to this point, no evidence has been submitted to, I guess, eliminate those questions. The timing. Miles says he got hurt in the second game. He proceeded to just ball out. Conference player of the year, best shooting guard of the country. Cool. He goes undrafted in November 2020 NBA draft. He finds his way to the G League and is waived shortly after. That was April 2021. And now today, present day, July 2021, he brings a lawsuit against his alma mater. Ladies and gentlemen, no matter what level of basketball you play, hell, no matter what level of sport you play, when it is your time to transition away from the sport, it is a tough transition. We have heard it from all different levels, all different skill level. It's hard. 20-year NBA pros talk about, man, the day I stepped away from the game, it was tough. I didn't know who I was anymore. I didn't have the schedule of practice. I didn't hear the roar of the crowd. It is hard for anyone. Hell, it was hard for me. I didn't play pro. I didn't play big-time Big East Division I basketball. I was a D3 athlete. And even for me, it was hard after 4 years. So I could only imagine what it's like for somebody like Miles Powell, who played Big East, playing in front of 15,000 people, playing on big-time AAU circuits, big-time high school basketball. It's got to be tough. And that's where it seems like he is at this stage of his career. He wasn't drafted. The G League team, the Westchester Knicks, I believe, they waived him. It looks like his pro prospects here in America are dwindling. And now is the time when he decides to bring a lawsuit versus his alma mater. You know, one can make a case that he sees his life transitioning, and now his mind's playing tricks on him. And this lawsuit is a last-ditch effort for a bag or a last-ditch effort to be a part of the basketball conversation. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm outside every day with them high schoolers and them college athletes, and I tell you all the time that I think it's dangerous their devotion to the sport and how much of the identity is tied up into the sports. Because no matter who you are, one day it's going to come to an end. And will you be able to transition? And we're seeing way too many times that our young men specifically are having a hard time. Forget big time pros. Forget big time college athletes. I got high schoolers, gentlemen who will never go on to play college basketball, pro basketball. Once their career is over, they're getting lost. And that's why I wanted to do this video. It's not even about Miles Powell. It's about we need to do something to help these folks with the transition. Because if I'm making a theory, I think that's what's going on with the Powell case. And I want to use it as an example to talk to all of my young athletes out there. You look at some of these guys on their social media, they'll have six pictures. All six of them are basketball moments. And that's all they'll post for the whole year. Because those are the only six basketball moments they had. I'm like, damn, dog, why don't you just post a picture of you and your grandma? You and your sister chilling at the park. Nah, that doesn't go to my identity of being baller's life, of portraying the demon, the big-time basketball player. Too many of our youngsters are trying to keep up with that persona, and that basketball is fleeting. And it pains me to see Miles Powell go through this ordeal, because even if he win a little money, half a mil, 1 mil, 1.5, 2.5. What about that network you spent 4 years building and cultivating at Seton Hall? What about the rapport you built with the institution, the athletic administration, the coaching staff, the alumni base, the fan base? Damn, dog, you just put us in a lawsuit. You're going to be alienated now. There's a rift there now. Adam told us they was considering retiring his number. That's probably not going to happen now. So you put 4 years of blood, sweat, and tears on that court. And now, dog, you probably can't walk through that gym. You can't go shoot around or work out. Damn, I wonder who was advising Miles on this. Just come out of left field and sue this alma mater. Whatever money he would get from a lawsuit, that it's still a net loss to lose that network that you spent 4 years cultivating. I just finished suing my former employer. I worked somewhere for 5 months. Things didn't go well, so I sued them. But guess what? I don't give a damn about that place. I would have had a hard time suing Kingsborough Community College, where I'm a two-time city champion, a championship game MVP, an all-conference performer, an all-regions performer, where I have the luxury of going to shoot around when I want to. I wouldn't want to sever those ties. Even if there was a discrepancy, even if I thought maybe, hey, they misdiagnosed me, let's see if we could work it out. But to blindside them with a lawsuit, man, that's tough. That's tough. And if you look at some of the things Miles said about his coach in the past, like Adam brought it up, he was a father figure. You see some of the pictures from senior night. Strong embraces, tears flowing. Man, we gotta do a better job of helping to save our youth. Like who? Who are his advisors, man? Like, if I was in that room, no way I would have let him go through with this lawsuit. We would have had to find a different route. In the lawsuit, they claim that the Dr. Testa misdiagnosed him. Dr. Testa is just a head athletic trainer. He don't claim to be an MD. Why do the lawyers get that incorrect? Like, just little stuff like that. Just seems bad all around, man. It's one of these situations where nobody's winning in this one. And to be, when I do my little humble analysis, I think this is really about a young man who is struggling to find his place after basketball is kind of slipping away, or maybe his life is going in a different direction, whether it's overseas, whether it's different things. I look on some of these youngsters' Instagram and they're portraying this image that they cannot keep up forever. They got the clothes, the jewelry. Oh, life is great. I'm just in the gym grinding. There's going to come a day when you got to do other stuff. And if they're struggling to find that new path. As an alumni of these institutions, you got networks. They can bring you back in different capacities. You could be an ambassador. You can be work in higher athletic administration. Those are career opportunities too. You could come back as coach, all types of things. Those opportunities are on hold right now. Jersey retirements, alumni days, like this stuff is on hold, man. Quality relationships that you built. Man, it breaks my heart, this whole story. This whole story. I don't think anybody comes out a winner in this. Again, wishing that young man the very best.